We're very pleased and appreciative of support from the Department of Defense to bring a guest to us, and that is Kathy Lee, Special Assistant to Deputy Assistant Department of Defense for Health, Readiness, and Policy and Oversight. Kathy, how are you today?
Great. Thank you, Ken.
And thanks so much for your time. Perhaps maybe you could start by just describing to us a little bit of your background in the field of health and policy and studying concussions and the impact they have on the military.
Great. Thank you for the question. So my name is Kathy Lee. I've been with the Department of Defense for about 16 years, serving in various leadership roles, most notably with the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center, otherwise known as DIVBIC, and that is the TBI Center of Excellence here for the Department of Defense. So a lot of great resources, a good place for folks to go to follow up on anything that we may talk about in the next little bit, the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center. I'm a nurse practitioner by my background and have been, again, working in this space for quite a long time to try to translate some of our research findings into true benefit for our warfighters.
Well, you have a terrific background in this. Now, we got involved in this by the opportunity to attend a seminar at West Point, I think it was in 2013, where General Odierno, Chief of Staff of the Army, brought in a delegation, several soldiers, and then Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, came in with several former NFL players, and they talked about the need to build awareness of concussions and to try to improve treatment. And I think a lot's been done in both areas, in athletics and then also in the military. What would you see some of the big accomplishments that have happened over the last 7 or 8 years in awareness and treatment of concussions?
Well, I think the number one advancement has been people understanding more about concussions and the signs and symptoms, which lead them in to get checked out. So early detection is very, very important because it provides the opportunity for us to start treating as soon as possible, and it maximizes the type of outcomes. As you're well aware, in elite sport athletes, in elite sports folks, as well as military service members, there is always the desire to get back out into the fight, get back out into the game. So I think that's one of the really premier advancements is public recognition of concussion and the need to get evaluated. In addition, learning more about what's happening in the brain when you suffer a concussion or a mild traumatic brain injury has really moved the field forward with trying to get other devices and blood biomarkers, other things we can look at like eye tracking. I'm naming about three right now that can really help us to understand where somebody is after they've had a concussion and then get them back to play.
Well, one of the moments at this event we attended was the moderator asked the audience, which was about 100 West Point athletes and cadets, how many of them thought they had had a concussion. And I'd say more than half raised their hand, probably two-thirds. And then he asked how many of you were treated for that concussion. And most of the hands went down. Only about a small percentage of those athletes and cadets kept their hand up that they had been treated for concussions. Now, of course, we have a concussion protocol. It's now the big topic in sports and in various areas. Well, tell us about what concussion protocol involves, if you would.
Sure. So the Department of Defense's concussion protocols are based on the inciting event or being involved in a potentially concussive event. And so we've done that purposely to take away some of the desires not to get care, to minimize your injury. If you're involved in a blow or a jolt to the head, then you're going to go get checked out. So that involves getting a test called the MACE, the Military Acute Concussion Evaluation 2 tool, and that's where we're going to check your eyes and your thinking skills and your balance, and we're going to find out what happened to you. We're also going to ask you questions that are really important, becoming even more important, such as, do you have a history of migraine headaches? Is this your first concussion? And also we'll ask you about mental health and whether or not you have any history of mental health issues. So that's what happens in our domain, is that we start with the MACE 2, and then pending the results of that military acute concussion tool, then we go further for treatment. And we also, one of the hallmark signs that have happened the last couple years since 2014 has been a progressive return to activity, and not just releasing you and having you go back to all your activities at once, but rather slowly progressing that level of activity as your symptoms support that.
Certainly so important to, and we've heard from all of concussion experts in being treated, to allow yourself enough time to fully recover from the incident. Now, one of the things that obviously the January 8th incident in Iraq at the Al Asad base, where 109 soldiers were hurt when the base received a missile attack, involved soldiers not receiving a physical injury, but receiving a concussion from a kind of a whiplash effect of a shell going off nearby. Maybe you could describe what that impact is when a shell or some other explosion happens and it ends up causing a concussion.
Okay, perfect. So there's a couple ways that you can sustain a concussion. You've already alluded to one of the prime ways, which is an impact or a blow or jolt to the head through playing sports activities, maybe a motor vehicle crash or a fall where you have an impact injury. There's also, you can sustain a concussion by a blast over pressure wave, traveling up, going to your skull, going through to your brain, and causing some injury and inflammation in that fashion as well. Many times people that are involved in a blast incident also fall, and therefore you have the impact mechanism as well as the blast over pressure. So, and then you've also talked about, you know, there can be shell casings and blast fragments that come out that can penetrate or also cause, as you mentioned, whiplash type injuries where you're moving your neck and your cervical spine some. So we know that there's various ways that people can sustain concussion. We know a lot more about the impact hitting your head way, and we're learning a lot more about blast over pressure waves and how that can impact your brain tissue and cause symptoms of concussion.
Now, obviously, there's much more education and requirements for youth sports in concussion awareness and protocol. And I guess the key is, what do you see as the key to treatment? You're working with soldiers and members of the military. What are the keys to identifying a level of concussion and the amount of treatment and time that's going to take to recover?
Well, I should have mentioned that DOD has partnered with the NCAA in a very large research initiative called the CARE Consortia, and we are learning a lot, including West Point cadets and from our Navy colleagues and our Air Force folks as well, cadets, about concussion and this need to detect that concussion early and then have the opportunity to treat it. Most treatment centers around the type of deficits or the symptoms that somebody complains about. So headache is a big one. Getting adequate sleep after concussion is another great treatment suggestion. And then we're also looking at your eye movements and seeing how fast you're able to scan your environment. And there are some very effective treatments to help correct some of those convergence or eye movement issues that can happen after concussion as well. We're seeing that a lot in our student athletes as well in soldiers throughout the country.
And I guess one of the concerns has been multiple concussions, the long-term impact. And one of the concerns we've had is there an impact on post-traumatic stress syndrome, which has afflicted so many veterans coming back from the recent conflicts. Has there been any link to PTSD in this?
So, yes, we believe there's some relationships that are occurring between traumatic brain injury and PTSD and suicide, as well as other mental health issues. We're still trying to very much understand that risk factor. Some of those are very personally based. Some of those have to do with group risk factors. And we are studying that quite fervently right now. The long-term effects are very important, as you mentioned, trying to understand throughout time late effects and long-term effects and what that may lead to, especially when you're out of the service or when you're out of the playing sports environment. So we have a lot of initiatives that are looking at multifactorial opportunities to try to better understand, obviously with the hope of mitigating those earlier on in someone's career.
And we appreciate your expertise on this. Is there a good reference point where you could suggest viewers or our listeners go to for more information?
Absolutely. So I would give you the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center website. That's dvbicdoe.mil.
Okay, we'll put that on our follow-up material going out to our audiences. Hey, I want to thank you so much, Kathy Lee, Special Assistant to the Deputy Assistant Department of Defense for Health, Readiness, Policy, and Oversight in Washington, D.C. Thank you for your help, and thank you for all the great work you're doing taking care of our military members.
Absolutely, anytime. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.